Welcome to another double feature of our UCLA FEMBA Drive Time podcast. I'm Dylan Stafford, and today we have a special post-FEMBAPALOOZA interview with Christy Marquez, Associate Director and the person in charge of FEMBAPALOOZA. And then we have our main event, our podcast interview with Kristen Palchuk, FEMBA 2016. I think you will find Kristen's interview fascinating as she explains how she mapped her FEMBA goals of marketing, global experiences, and entrepreneurship, and then she reached them during FEMBA. You'll also get to hear how she's transformed a 30-year-old brand, the TV show Jeopardy, and is executing a modern digital marketing strategy for Jeopardy. You'll get to hear about Kristen going global with her global access program in Italy, plus two separate global immersions, one to China, which I got to go on with her, and a second to Israel over spring break this year. And through it all, Kristen shares some wonderful learnings of how she was able to challenge herself, stretch beyond what she thought was possible, and actually have it all work, including keeping yoga in her life. So Kristen is awesome, and I think you'll agree after hearing her interview. But first, the first half of our double header, our double feature, with me again this week is Christy Marquez, who most of you have already met from either our coffee chats or regional lunches or the summer counseling one-on-ones that Christy provides. And as I said last week, I know her as a key leader on our team, and her leadership is never more amazingly evident than in the biggest event that we have, the one and only FEMBAPALOOZA, when Christy just, congratulations, just successfully transacted FEMBAPALOOZA 5 last Sunday. So how do you go?
Well, thank you, Dylan, for the great intro. It went so well, way better than I could have ever hoped.
Yay!
We actually had over 1,000 people in attendance, and actually a wider range of FEMBA class years, going back all the way to 1993, class of 1993, which is pretty awesome. So it was just a really amazing group of people, and it was just fun to welcome the incoming class as well and congratulate the 2016s on their graduation. Just so many fun moments that happened that I can just talk all day about all the funny things that happen. And for example, Evilo Dachev, one of our alumni, he just drove up and gave us a truckload of free strawberries, and everybody went home happy with a bunch
of
strawberries.
So he explained it to me. So his company makes plant nutrients, and these are two farms in Watsonville who grow really beautiful, luscious, delicious strawberries using his product. And then he donated those just because he heard we were going to have a lot of people. That guy is amazing. I love those surprises for FEMBAPALOOZA, because the whole day is kind of like
exactly.
That.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. And it's just always some kind of fun surprise. And you know, one of the biggest hits was Diego Benitez, one of our incoming students, special fembale. He brewed a special fembale for our event, and that was a hit. Four kegs were pretty much finished within a couple hours.
I think those kegs went quickly. I love his story too. He has a couple of degrees from Mexico. He has a PhD from Caltech. He's already a successful owner of Progress, a successful entrepreneur owner of Progress Brewery. And he just kind of reached out to us and said, hey, I could help out with your event.
Exactly. And he just wants to build his network. And that's what FEMBAPALOOZA is for, to build your network and, you know, to just make those connections and in a very fun, casual environment. So it just went really well.
It really did. I think everybody's going to want to be in his study group this fall in his entering class of 2019, because he'll probably be a popular guy.
That's for sure.
Well, let's see, who else? We had some other alumni who contributed.
Yeah, so we also had Srinan Agrawal. She's a recent graduate, and she owns Bites Desserts. So I got a chance to finally try Bites Desserts. She brought some sundaes, you know, little cups of ice cream, which were delicious. I tried the chocolate chip one, which is, oh my gosh, just amazing. And then, of course, Sharon Lee, who owns a franchise of Yogurtland, she brought all sorts of different toppings, and that line just continued throughout the day. There was just a line of people. So everyone, of course, enjoyed the desserts too, thanks to, you know, the alumni.
Well, it was just, it was such a successful day all around. And learning on the lawn, we had 8 learning on the lawn sessions this year. Professor Shi, Margaret Shi, working with effective communication, and Professor Gonzalo Frasius talking about taking your business global. And then we also had our student volunteers and alumni volunteers. There were 50 to 70 people at every learning on the lawn. That just happened throughout the day. And then the big group photo, that was fun, but oh my God, it was so hot.
It was so hot. Yeah. We didn't want to make people melt, so we were trying to be quick about it, and it actually turned out pretty nice. Yeah.
Well, the whole day was so smooth.
It was very smooth. Yeah.
I want to publicly acknowledge you in front of everybody, because you just, there's only about 100 different moving pieces to that day.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. It definitely takes a lot of coordination, but really could not have done it without the rest of the team. You know, everyone helped out. We had student volunteers, and it just shows, it really, you know, shows how much, you know, students really, really value their experience here at Anderson. They're willing to give back and just be part of it and make it, you know, the amazing event that it is. So it was just great all around.
Yeah, all the ambassadors who worked for 6 to 9 months, Blair and Ray and Thomas and Yamini and Rahul and Mahadevan, just so many. And I'm, of course, I'm not going to name everyone, but so many people who just all those lunchtime conference calls. And then our volunteer staff. We have basically volunteer Fembapalooza committee members from all the different departments of Anderson who support the Femba experience, from GAP to Global Immersions to Alumni to Development, the Student Affairs, Student Services. I mean, so many people. Michael upstairs and his team run the Kids Zone and VG so well. We had Joe and Josie Bruin.
Yeah, and that was like a last minute thing. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to secure Joe and Josie Bruin. And literally like the day before, a couple of days before, they actually confirmed that they were going to be there. So I was just so happy, because that, you know, not only makes the kids happy, but the adults too.
Yes, the alumni.
Even more than the kids.
It's hard to get your picture at the Rose Bowl with Joe and Josie Bruin, but Fembapalooza, it's a little more manageable.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool. And the photo booth pictures turned out so hilarious. And we added the new feature of GIFs. So now people have GIFs of themselves.
Oh, nice.
So that was just hilarious to see everyone wearing funny hats and big glasses and just having a good time being silly.
Yeah, I've seen those. Those have been popping up all week long on Facebook. I just
posted mine today. So.
Okay. Man, my Facebook account has just been pinging all week long.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. I love it.
Yeah.
And then and you never know, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, we had this, before it was Fembapalooza, it was a smaller event, but it happened on Carmageddon. And then we had the fire Saturday. I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to have to cancel, because it was so smoky on Saturday. And then it was just postcard perfect on Sunday.
Right.
We got so lucky with that.
We did. We got very lucky. And there was not a cloud in the sky. It was just amazing.
Yeah. Well, and now the only thing left to do to reward yourself for the biggest Femba admissions event of the decade is where are you going to be for the next few days?
I will be in Maui.
Oh, yay.
So, yay. Really excited. I will be doing a lot of nothing, just laying around on the beach and, of course, exploring here and there.
So. Well, a very incredibly well-earned vacation. We will miss you, but we know that you have earned it twice over. So
thank you so much
for 5 incredibly successful Fembapaloozas. This was definitely the biggest and the best ever. I can't wait to see what we get creative and come up with next year for Fembapalooza 6. We're already working on finding the dates, and we're coordinating with the Global Access Program and all our partners here on campus. So thanks to you, and thanks to everybody, Fembassador team, Femba Council, and all the faculty and staff who just made it perfect. So enjoy Hawaii.
Thank you. Those
of you here now, just enjoy our podcast interview with Kristen Palchik, Femba 2016, as she talks about marketing, global, and a splash of entrepreneurship. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Why don't we start? We'll just kind of open it up to you. Why don't you just introduce yourself and really kind of tell people where, you know, what your life was professionally and educationally before, and kind of what had you come back to business school? Let's start with that.
Sure. So I'm Kristen Palchik, as you mentioned. Happy to be here, Dylan. I grew up in Sacramento and I went to undergrad at Berkeley. I majored in mass communications with a minor in Italian studies. So you can imagine the core curriculum was pretty new to me when I came to UCLA.
I guess so. And why'd you choose Berkeley?
I chose Berkeley because I wanted a school that had lots of options and they had fantastic options to explore.
Mm-hmm. Mass communications and Italian.
Yeah. I fell in love with the language and the food, of course. But
Very good.
So I spent my junior year studying abroad in Italy.
Oh, your whole year?
My whole year, yeah, in Bologna.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. Second to UCLA.
Very good. Thank you for the plug. We appreciate the plug.
Yep. And I started my career when I graduated Cal, moving down to LA to work in advertising. I started at Ogilvy & Mather, where I worked on Cisco Systems, Arco Gas, AMPM, and Tabasco Hot Sauce.
Too much good stuff.
Oh, you know it.
Well, I know AMPM. I've seen
yeah.
that. Okay, so that brought you down. Ogilvy & Mather brought you down to LA. All right. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad company to land right out of undergrad.
It was exactly what I wanted. It was an international account in client services and at a well-known agency. So, and then I wanted to focus more on the digital side of things. I could see that's where the world was going and moved over to Sony Pictures Interactive, which is the in-house digital agency for Sony Pictures.
Now, can I just ask a question?
You may.
So, yeah, it is where the world is heading. Did you figure that out on your own? Did you have a mentor? You know, that's a big fork in the road, and it's paid off for you, as our listeners will get to hear. So how did you kind of come to that?
You know, it's kind of interesting in the big world of advertising. Everybody was really entranced with the television commercials and, you know, the big sexy objects that had lots of budgets, and they were traveling all over the world to shoot these things. And the digital was kind of like the stuff nobody wanted. So they handed it off to me, the fresh out of college, you know, person to just figure it out. And so I ended up getting a lot of ownership of the digital projects. And so it kind of made sense based on my experience at Ogilvy to kind of transition more into that and utilize it. So, and you know, some of the traditional mediums we were using just started to, the ideas that were coming out of the agency were just so much more digitally focused. Like, oh, if we didn't have enough budget, maybe we could fake it in post-production, or maybe we could use CGI. And it just seemed like even the traditional ways of advertising were moving in that direction. So.
Well, that's great. Well, I love it's one of those things. We'll talk a little bit later when we get to the ELDP about it's not always the things we think are going to be successful that are successful. So you took maybe the less big budget, less, and that has opened up doors for you.
It has.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. So I interrupted. So continue.
Okay.
So Ogilvy & Mather and then you're going digital.
Yep. Went to Sony Pictures and worked on a variety of things there. A lot of their new business pitches, like J.K. Rowling's Pottermore, which was really fun. And then I inherited the Jeopardy accounts and inherited, a 30-year-old brand that was a little antiquated, as you can imagine, in the way they were advertising and the channels they were using. So for me, it was a great opportunity to kind of step up and take the brand to a new place. So I was there. I did Jeopardy for, I was at Sony Pictures for 2 years. And then we talked a little bit about this, but Sony Pictures Interactive dissolved. So 150 people laid off. This was during my first winter quarter of UCLA.
So this is the thing, you know, you get admitted to UCLA and your future is so bright, and it should be bright. And then life happens.
And then life happens. Exactly.
Wow, you're 6 months into school. You're just getting your sea legs, core classes.
Totally. Trying to figure out accounting and finance and things I've never looked at in my life. And
mass comm and Italian, not so much.
Exactly. Not so much. Yep. But it was a difficult time, I think. Like, my grades suffered a little bit for sure. But, it ended up working out really well. The Jeopardy, who I was working on, needed to find a new ad agency to do the work. So they liked the work I was doing, which was great, and told that new ad agency to hire me. So I've pretty much had the same job since I started Femba, doing digital marketing for Jeopardy. And it's come a long way in the past 3-4 years.
And so, like, as you, like, what are you proud of as you kind of look in the rearview mirror about bringing a 30-year-old? I mean, yeah, that's it. I mean, what's 30 years old anymore?
Yeah.
There's nothing that, except, you know, big major brands like automobiles and this and that. So what's that been like as you brought digital savvy to Jeopardy?
Yeah, I love this question because it is something that I feel kind of proud of. You know, Jeopardy's going into its 33rd season in the fall. Alex Trebek is turning 76 this July.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Is he really?
He is. I mean, I know.
Wow. Okay.
And he's still crushing it. He's still so good at hosting that show. And you know, when I came on, they were just doing things in really kind of antiquated ways. There was videos that were being produced that nobody watched. They weren't really on social channels, and when they weren't taking advantage of the right moments and the right conversations. So we have built a brand new Jeopardy.com. Check it out. And it has a big editorial focus, so we kind of give viewers the behind-the-scenes access to the show that they want, and Jeopardy fans always are looking to learn more. So there's that, and we've increased our social channel followers like significantly. Facebook, Twitter, even got them to experiment with Periscope.
Okay, I'm ignorant. Tell me, what's Periscope?
Periscope is live streaming, so
okay.
You can take video and then watch somebody wherever they are. Yeah.
Well, so that's a little bit about your career, you know, that kind of brought you into FEMBA. Let's kind of jump into what was FEMBA for you? You know, let's kind of talk about whatever you want to talk about. I know we want to cover some of the extracurricular because you've had a really good extracurricular involvement, but anything you want to tell, you know, specifically I'm interested in new FEMBAs feeling comfortable to make that transition. So you've been out of school for a couple of years, brand new content.
Yeah.
So anything you want to, do you want to do year one, year two, year three? How do you want to structure it?
Well, I guess I can say coming into FEMBA, what my goals were. I initially wanted to focus on marketing and global business with a splash of entrepreneurship.
Oh, I
That's
like that.
How
nice,
I branded
nice
it
cocktail.
To myself. Exactly. And I actually, you know, in my nerd-like function, created an Excel spreadsheet. And with all the classes, I plugged them in and color-coded them.
Very good.
Okay, if I look at my whole 3 years, is it going to be that? Is it going to be a focus on global and marketing with a splash of entrepreneurship?
This is good. Take notes. I love it. That's just great. So you actually kind of made a picture of what you wanted the elements of your FEMBA experience that really would stand out for you. I love it.
Yes.
That. Okay.
And coming out, I'm still like, oh my gosh, there's tons of classes I wish I could have taken and so much to get involved in that, you know, you wish you could have. There's so many hours in the day. So.
There are. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I focused once I got into electives and things of that nature. I mean, the first year I was pretty much just trying to get accustomed to the work-life balance and figure out how to fit this in. The classes were all new to me. Figuring out when to work out was really hard.
Because you do yoga, right?
I do the yoga.
See that on your resume.
Yep, and I run. So that was the first thing to fall off the radar.
Oh, God.
Beginning. Yep. And, you know, kind of had to get adjusted to that. And, you know, you make all your new social circles. And I joined a lot of clubs my first year, but I really didn't get super involved in too much. Then second year is when kind of things started to become a little more tangible, a little more fun. I got into electives, so I got to start taking the things that I was really passionate about and get more involved in global immersions and start to get a better, start working out more and kind of getting the life back on track. And then third year, it was really kind of that, okay, what are the missing pieces of my FEMBA career? Where, if my marketing, global business, entrepreneurship, what have I not accomplished and how can I fit that in? So I at the beginning of the year realized I did not get a chance to take a lot of the entrepreneurship classes, EVI, BPD, and then BCO, which are kind of the big entrepreneurial opportunities. I didn't get to do that. So I got really involved with the Entrepreneurship Association on campus.
Well, and let's kind of focus on that. And for our listeners, let's do the jargon. So BCO, yeah. Business Creation Officer. Yes. Yeah, let's kind of spell them out if you don't mind.
Sure. So EVI is kind of the intro to entrepreneurship class, entrepreneurship and venture initiation. BPD, Business Plan Development, is the next iteration of that, where you write a business plan, obviously. And BCO, the business creation option, is the alternative to GAP, the Global Access Program, where you can start your own business with classmates.
So you did all three?
No, I did none.
You did none. Excuse me. Right. I misunderstood.
Yes. So I did none of those, which is why I wanted to focus on the Entrepreneurship Association in my third year.
Oh, I got you.
Accomplish my vision. Yeah.
Okay. Because you did the Global Access Program.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It was fantastic.
We're going to have our readers totally confused. And that's part of the challenge of FEMBA, is that there's 100 different ways you can do it.
Yep.
Okay. So, but I like that. So you had your map coming into FEMBA. I want marketing. Mm-hmm. I want global business. I want a splash of entrepreneurship.
Yep.
And then you're continuing to benchmark yourself and your journey.
Yep.
And you get to the third year and say, okay, well, how can I backfill? Because the entrepreneurship, the splash that I wanted, I could have either done this sequence or I can get in the Entrepreneurs Association. So what did you experience in the Entrepreneurship Association, which is the biggest, it's the biggest club, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
EA, it's often called EA. I think it's pretty much the biggest club on campus.
Yeah, it is. It was great. So I found out through a classmate of mine about this very small kind of unknown program in FEMBA land, which has had many different names, which I think is why people have a hard time knowing about it. They should really get their marketing straight.
As a marketing guru, exactly. Yes, you can point them in a better direction.
Yeah, so they call it kind of by whoever is sponsoring it at the time, which is part of the problem. So it was Vistage last year, Tiger 21 this year, and the other name is ELDP, Entrepreneurship Leadership Development Program, which like no one can remember and is really long. But essentially what it is you had to write an essay, an interview, and there were 17 people selected to be paired with a mentor. And the mentor is a entrepreneur in the field who has already been successful in some capacity. And you give up 6 Fridays in the year. I had to use my vacation days to do these, but it was worth it. Mm. And they bring in entrepreneurs to speak with you. So, and the entrepreneurs, the whole point is not for them to tell you about their successes the way they do in kind of some of the large format speaking sessions you get at UCLA, but to really be kind of a personal conversation where everyone's under NDA, where they can tell you about their failures.
Mm.
And the group is supposed to ask the hard questions. So I was telling you earlier, Dylan, like, you know, if an entrepreneur comes in and says, well, I just created this huge business and it was taking me lots of hours, but it was so great and I partnered with all these big companies. You know, the group has the liberty to then ask the question, well, how did doing that affect your relationship with your wife and the time you spent with your children?
Mm.
So it gets to the deep stuff, the core of things. And
wow.
Yeah, not just the career, but the kind of 360 picture of
if we're going to measure success more holistically versus just, I'm rich and it all worked out.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the second half of the day,
So that's Friday morning.
That's Friday morning, yes.
Okay.
Friday afternoon, everybody in the team, the entrepreneur leaves and you just have your mentor and the people in the group and everybody puts an issue up on the board that they're dealing with. And we pick 3 issues to tackle in the afternoon. So whether it be something in your work, whether it be you want to start a business, it could also be a problem you're having in your relationship or something you're dealing with a family member.
Wow.
So it can be completely all-encompassing and it's this peer-to-peer learning where it's kind of the whole group tackles your problem together and you come out with all of these great ideas and insights on your situation that you hadn't really seen before. So,
And it was Ed Moses who told you about this?
Ed Moses and Paula Major.
And Paula Major introduced you to this opportunity. And what you said, there were 17 people selected and 4 of you were FEMBAs?
3 of us.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you found this little niche within FEMBA. So, and that's, I mean, UCLA Anderson is full of these little, and that's kind of what you do as you customize. So that became your splash of entrepreneurship.
Yeah. And I only wish I'd found it earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could have had 3 years of it.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's why our listeners are benefiting.
Exactly.
Well, anything else about Entrepreneurs Association that kind of comes to mind, or was that pretty...
That was the big thing, but coming out of it, that's actually giving me the most leverage as figuring out what I'm doing after FEMBA than anything else has thus far.
So say more about that. So what is it kind of...
So
what is it doing for you as you look post FEMBA?
Yeah. So one of the entrepreneurs that came in and spoke with our group was really fantastic. He actually gave me the name of somebody who is an awesome marketer at a startup in Santa Monica. And I met with him, and then the entrepreneur is rebuilding his website and he needed somebody to help oversee that process. So I actually just had lunch with him before I came here, and he is, you know, he offered if I want to help, I can help and write a proposal or something. So I have to do that coming up. But through him, it's a network of potentially starting my own thing and getting side projects and learning about the business in a new way.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's incremental. It's not just the big splash. And I love to suggest to people as they're mapping out FEMBA, you know, look for the little wins. And I've heard that in a lot of these podcasts. You never know when that one person that you met and that one thing that was like, ah, it wasn't a fit for me. And yet, so there you go. So this has introduced you to a person. Oh, they need digital marketing. Oh, you're a digital marketing expert.
Yep.
Looking to evolve. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, which would you like to talk about? Either Gap or your case studies or your global immersions?
Let's talk about Gap.
All right, let's talk about Gap.
Yeah.
So tell people about your Gap experience.
Okay. My Gap experience was awesome.
Oh, well, good. Well, okay.
Yeah. Love it. And I feel like I need to say that because there was a lot, it gets a bad rep, and I was very much on the fence going into it because I'd heard a lot of negative things from people, and I was like, oh, maybe I should do BCO. I'm interested in the entrepreneurship thing. But I ended up finding a group very early on for Gap, and it was by far one of the best experiences of FEMBA. I've never worked professionally or personally with a group that had more fluidity and togetherness, I guess. I don't know. Mm. It just felt really easy.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So we were paired with an Italian steel forger.
Oh, well, that's good for you.
Which was great. I got to go to Italy and use my Italian. And
an Italian steel forger.
Yes. Yeah,
like when would anybody ever have that opportunity?
Exactly. Okay. I know nothing about manufacturing, obviously. So we got on the phone and, you know, did over 130 interviews with steel forgers and parts makers and sales reps. And
now this is why Gap intimidates people, because it's like, how am I going to talk to 130 people about the Italian steel industry?
Yeah.
Except you were guided towards what you needed to do.
Exactly. And the first one was a little scary, and then they all got easy. It's you just... You know, the approach I took at least was just being super honest of like, hi, I know nothing about the manufacturing industry. You tell me what you know, and then it makes them feel good. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was great. We got to go to Italy, saw the steel forging plant, which is very cool, and have some nice meals. And we ended up giving our company a no-go.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Okay.
We actually had kind of a unique experience. We almost kicked our company out of Gap.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, our client, they only had one person that was really communicating with us, and he was very busy. They had one salesman for the entire world, and he was traveling all the time.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Which that's in our recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I want to
get more salesmen. Yeah.
Get more salesmen.
But he stopped communicating with us, and so a lot of information that we needed to finish the report we weren't receiving from the client.
This is client management.
Totally, totally. And Bob Foster, the head of Gap, kind of went over and talked to the Chamber of Commerce about getting them more involved. And they decided to keep the company on, but, you know, the team just kind of carried on without a client liaison. So at this point, we were far enough along in the process that we'd done most of the research and we had the report pretty finalized. So we ended up preparing the report, giving a kick-ass presentation, and giving a no-go, and our client wasn't there to to tell us that he didn't like it. So,
well, that's the thing. We sourced like 55 companies from 10 different countries around the world.
Yep.
And it's kind of reality 101.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have they received your recommendation?
I sent it over.
We sent it to them. Yeah.
We didn't hear anything back.
It'll be interesting to follow up.
Yep.
Well, and but did you get the learning you wanted to get out of Gap, even with what seems like that's not the way Gap's supposed to go, but that's the way life can go with real companies in real time.
Definitely. I think the process of research gathering was extremely helpful. I don't think I realized that was a gap in my skill set until I actually went through the act of Gap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think especially for, you know, starting a business or anything of that nature, this ability to just get a list of people you want to contact and contact them and see, you know, talk to strangers and learn information and compile that information in a smart way was super useful. The international learning was fantastic. It was nice to my, you know, marketing and global business. Just got to kind of get deeper into the Italian business culture and learn about the differences between Italy and the U.S. and the challenges of a company coming over to the U.S. And from a team dynamic standpoint, it was fantastic. I would work with these guys in a heartbeat again. We just had a great time. Our calls were super efficient. We came to a conclusion quickly and seamlessly, and everyone just stepped up and was proactive. And we had very little turmoil in our group. So it was great for me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, you had your big three. We're marketing, global business, and entrepreneurship. So we've clicked off entrepreneurship. Gap obviously starts to click off global business, but then you also wove in two global immersions.
Yeah.
So China and where? Israel?
Israel.
All right. So tell our, you know, how'd you choose your countries? When, which intercession did you want to place them in? You know?
I would have gone every single time if I could, but the realities of having a full-time job kind of limited me. I actually ended up taking unpaid time off to do most of these immersions.
Wow.
Yeah, so that I could do it. But I chose China because I thought it was a fantastic place. I wanted to learn about the business side and not just as a tourist. I'd only been to Thailand in the past, so hadn't explored Asia too much. And I wanted to kind of see a different side of it. And it was incredible. The group of people, the trip was led by Phil Leslie, who was phenomenal. And the group of people became very close-knit. And we saw such a wide range of companies and cultural things while we were there. We went to Chengdu and Chongqing.
That's right.
As you know, you were there.
I was there for half of it. Yeah, I got to be in Chengdu. I didn't see Chongqing.
Yeah. And we went into the Ford manufacturing plant. We went into a baijiu company. It was like liquor company that had been around forever in China. We went into a very old manufacturing plant, but then also went into a super young entrepreneurial community with a bunch of foreign dudes that were trying to take advantage of all of the opportunities in China. So it was this huge spectrum. We got to see pandas, which was great.
The pandas were amazing. Sunday morning pandas. That was
amazing.
Yeah.
And then I extended the trip with a couple of friends for a week, and we went to climb the Great Wall of China in Beijing and biked around a small town called Yangshou. So it was
so
lovely.
You stayed that second week after, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually the week before.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. So it was great.
So that, and that was your second year.
That was my second year. Spring break.
Spring break, second year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And then when did you go to Israel? Spring break, third
spring
year.
Break this year.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And Israel was also phenomenal. I mean, it's such a controversial country, and to be there in an educational sense was really interesting. The focus was on technology and innovation. So learning about kind of what's bubbling over there and all of the societal differences in the way they approach entrepreneurship and innovation in general was really interesting. And then the cultural components were amazing. Walking around Jerusalem is just a phenomenal city and really interesting from a political, cultural, religious standpoint. And then we swam in the Dead Sea, mm-hmm. climbed Masada, got to do a quick little side trip to ride camels in Petra, Jordan. So it was very, very nice.
Let's see. Well, let's look forward. So, you know, where are you as you come to commencement and you reflect on your 3 years and you look forward to your next few, whatever horizon, you know, like, so how does FEMBA live for you looking forward now coming up to commencement?
Yeah. You know, I'm not one of the FEMBAs that come out with like a game plan. Like, I don't know. I don't have a job lined up. When I came into FEMBA, my application essay said that I want to long-term start my own international brand consulting company, but short-term I'm going to go into traditional management consulting like a McKinsey or a Bain in order to get that credibility. What I learned in FEMBA is that management consulting is not for me. I like being closer to the creative process than that would entail. And I also learned that after all those core classes, I'm in the right field. I like marketing. And so that validates, you know, kind of where I'm at and the path I've taken thus far. And it's just a matter of where I'm going to take it next. One of the things I'm looking at getting a new job. I think I've done what I can for Jeopardy and looking to kind of find a new marketing challenge, maybe in a more innovative industry like tech. And I'm also looking at the possibility of working for myself and starting to take on side projects on the side. Like I'm, you know, talking to this guy from the Entrepreneurship Club and see if eventually that can kind of grow into my own business. So taking it in a very practical way, like most FEMBAs do, of, you know, still working full time, but trying this out on the side. So,
And in this particular city, that's the way everybody does everything.
Yeah.
You know, you build your reputation. You know, I love your reputation, brought you from Sony, you know, it brought you across.
Yeah.
You know, do right by people.
Yeah.
Don't burn bridges.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure out what, you know, I love that validation. So you know, you put yourself through the entire core and guess what? I'm where I should be.
Exactly.
I'm good at marketing. People love me.
I don't want to do stats.
I'll create partnerships with other people who will help me with stats. Yes.
Exactly.
And what's that cliche? You know, figuring out what you want to do is figuring out what you don't want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So well, do you feel empowered? Do you feel ready? Like you know, you can start with projects, but then is it going to be Paul Chick and Company or,
I don't know. We don't have a name yet.
Kristen LLC.
I definitely feel like FEMBA has given me more confidence than I had before. I think 100% that's one of the learnings coming out is whereas before it seemed something very scary, it still seems scary, but it seems like something I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have better access to a network of people that know how to do it. Mm-hmm. For example, I have a great classmate that helped tutor me through stats and finance, and I can call them if things come up.
Right.
And I didn't really have access to that before. So, yes, I suppose is the answer to your question.
Yes, I suppose. My future is bright, and I'm keeping my options open.
Exactly. Yeah. We will see what comes along. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, and it's not about, am I happy in June of my third year, right? That's the way too small of a way to look at it. It's, am I empowered for the next 30 years?
Yeah.
And do I know these people, right? Because none of us can be an expert at everything. Why would we even want to bother?
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan wasn't so good at baseball, but he was great at basketball. So, you know, yeah. Like focus on what really pulls you forward. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say I learned from FEMBA is that our minds and our bodies can accomplish a lot more than we think.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Yeah. Like I remember being very, very nervous about starting FEMBA. I thought, how am I going to balance all of these things? How am I going to be able to excel in work and in school? And I'm going to lose all my family and friends. And, you know, I'm just preparing mentally to be an utter failure at all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little validity to that. But more so, it's about... but more so, it's about, you know, you can take on more than you think, and you become this kind of yes person. And even on top of work and on top of school, and a case study competition comes up and someone emails you, you're like, yes, sure. Oh, side project? Yes, sure. Three classes instead of two this quarter? Yes, sure. And you just keep saying yes because all these opportunities are available, and they're only going to be available for these 3 years, and you want to do all of them. And for me, the learning was that I can take on way more than I ever thought I could.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's going to kind of last beyond FEMBA for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And thank you for your generosity, because I love these podcasts because people are being very generous in what they share. And I think that, like when you mentioned, you know, Gap gets the bad reputation, Gap gets blown into this like best of times, worst of times. And FEMBA itself gets blown into this. Oh my gosh. But people, you know, we graduate 96-98% of the people who complete Leadership Foundations. You know, we get to the finish line for almost everybody. And it's not just survive to the finish line, but rather get there and be empowered, right? We take a bunch of people who are already high achieving and give them the confidence to even go beyond that. And then the network to go with. And
yeah.
So I'm so pleased that you're a satisfied customer.
I am a satisfied customer, yes.
Your application is one of the ones, you know, we get a lot of people with engineering backgrounds, a lot of people with, you know, business econ, and then we get, I always say that's sort of the meat and the potatoes, and then we get the flavor, right? And it takes everything to make a nice meal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, communications in Italian, but hey, Berkeley grad, she's going to do great. It'll be a little...
Yeah.
You know, she won't have seen the material before, but look at, here you are, you know, you're smiling still.
Still smiling
when you get to graduation.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have been smiling right before finals of, like, finance, but, you know.
That's right. That's what we have to wait.
We made it through, yeah.
This interview can't happen too soon. We have to wait a little. Get that perspective.
Yeah.
Well, any kind of parting thoughts, shout outs to favorite faculty or friends or words of wisdom to the classes that will walk in your footsteps?
Oh my goodness. Shout out to the Fem Besties.
There you go. Who are your Fem Besties?
My Fem Besties. There's too many to name them all, but I'm very lucky to have found a great group of friends that I met early on first year, and they have been a part of the entire experience, gone through the roller coasters up and down, gone on the global immersions, been a part of my Gap teams, and could not have gotten through it without them for sure.
Yeah that's what makes this place
lifelong friends.
And any you know, if you knew then what you know now that you could offer to anybody walking in this summer, getting ready for FEMBA?
Work out in the morning.
Okay.
I know it's really hard to wake up, but that's the only time, at least for me, that I could find a way to fit it in. Because by the time nighttime rolled around, with homework and with class and with all the other things that come up, I just, mornings, before you can come up with a better excuse. Yeah.
But that worked for you. And you really had just a mind and body relationship to this thing. You didn't just try to do it all intellectually.
Yeah.
So getting to work out in the morning, like, so you kind of lost your rhythm the first year, but then you got it back years two and three.
Oh, another tip, speaking of mind and body, is meditation, which I kind of got into while I was in FEMBA. And I actually would pull over in the residential area behind UCLA in between work and class and just do 10-minute meditation followed by, if there was time, like a 15-minute nap.
Mm-hmm.
And it would actually put me in a much better state to come into class. I felt clear-headed. It would get rid of all the stress of the workday and all the emails that I should be following up on and all of that. And it was just a nice kind of break of disconnecting from one thing and then starting fresh at another.
You know, and mindfulness is all the rage.
Yes.
In, you know, corporate America.
Yes.
Because how do we maintain our energy as a leader?
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. FEMBA teaches you how to maintain your energy.
Yes. I still feel like I'm on a treadmill. The whole thing, you're just on a treadmill. You're racing every single day. And, you know, I kind of just want someone to push me off so I can take a nap.
Your nap is coming. Get the whole summer. I love talking to people the summer after they graduate. And they're like, yeah, my car's like on autopilot. It keeps driving to Westwood.
Yep.
I can't deprogram my car.
Yep.
You're going to have so much free time.
Exactly. And I'll probably fill it up with more work. But
that's what we do. We find out what's next.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Kristen, for it's been fun watching you go through from FEMBA Council early on all the way through and getting to travel to China with you last year. So I got to see you
fun.
Year one, year two, and now we get to wrap up year three. So thanks for being so generous.
Of course.
And sharing with our listeners this summer and or whenever they happen to hear this podcast.
Awesome.
So we will complete there and stay tuned next week when we'll interview another wonderful person. But this week's guest has been Kristen Palchuk. Look her up on LinkedIn and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dylan. Good luck, guys.